Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's 7 o'clock, and this hour is brought to you by Zero Res Smart Lasting Clean. Did you have something you want to share with the class?
Yesterday, when Squid wasn't here yesterday, you remember when you dropped it at 7 o'clock on the dot?
I did. I had to stop myself from that.
You're like, hit it on the head. And I was like, man, all I can hear is Usher. That's all I can hear.
I was like, man, I can't.
Speaking of singing in your car when you're, you know, early 2000s, like that was the one.
That, and then I watched an interesting, I didn't get to play it all, but remember I said I liked a certain song by Cisco, and then you guys judge me.
Sure.
You know, it was in my younger years, and I probably had no business singing that song. But the instrumentals behind it, there was a really good story that, no, there was like an orchestra and stuff, guys.
Yeah.
I was ahead of my time.
It doesn't change the fact that you're not playing in the orchestra behind
Look,
Cisco.
I'm
you're
just
singing
saying
the song.
There's a great appreciation for the music.
Man,
the artist that is. That went into that. I think it was a violin. You're quick, Jada. You're quick.
God, yeah, how did you have that song up to play?
Like, oh, I got that
Danny's like, bam.
I love
Baby
it.
Maybe the hips.
I think this was one of the options for the 2000s, actually. I didn't go with this. Was an honorable mention. It was an honorable mention.
What about, like, All for One? Was that? That was 2000.
Wasn't it?
Or are they early 90s? Was that 90s?
That was 90s.
Maybe.
That was, like, that had to have been, like, mid to late 90s.
You're right,
mid to late
you're
97.
Right. I was thinking early. Yeah,
I sang in
right.
the church choir with Jamie from All for One.
You did?
Yeah.
Wait, which
we grew up together.
Which version of All for One? You talking about Boys to Men or, like, didn't like Sting and Bryan Adams do one?
Wait, are you talking about the
group?
No,
no, no. I'm talking about the group.
Yeah, she's
not
talking about
the
song.
Oh,
yeah.
The group. Well, I thought you were talking about the song.
I just say this
much. You're talking about the group.
Yeah, I'm talking about the group. Yeah.
I was making Bo's cool. list what he was singing in the car at 16 this morning, and I was literally laughing. Like, laughing out loud to myself, going,
Bo
yes,
probably
I can just
had,
picture
I
him
feel
doing
like
this
you were.
Elbow out the window, you know?
I feel like he was in some sort of crossroads. Like, part of you, I think, wanted to maybe be grunge, like emo kind of thing, but not fully emo, but just more on the grunge side. And then you also had your country side, you know?
Side musically. I mean, just a small one.
It's old school mainly. I mean, because right. I consider like groups like Blackberry Smoke and Whiskey Myers more of a...
Southern rock.
Southern. Now, I do like some Zach Bryan and stuff. Which by the way, after seeing the Hawk Tua girl on stage with Zach Bryan in Nashville,
dude. I saw that.
I bet Zach Bryan. I'm just going to tell you now. Like, I think it's at Saturday show. The nation needs to be up there, Day Day. I need to go sing a song with Zach Bryan.
Wait,
now.
Who if was Hawk up there Tua girl with him?
Can, that Hawk Tua girl.
Hawk Tua.
You know,
you're not familiar with the Hawk Tua girl?
Have I been under a rock?
Yes. Oh, man, they even Brandon Gaudin mentioned the Hawk Tua girl.
And she is so...
Let me go pull this up.
Yeah. Anyways.
But
yeah.
Wait, I guess I have a show to do. Okay. I'll look it up later. I have to put my phone down. All right. Matthew Bergeron. Actually, we got to talk to him last year at training camp. Guard for the Atlanta Falcons. Really, I shouldn't say kid, but really nice young adult.
Young man.
Right?
Nice young man.
Young man.
It sounded like he's from South Louisiana. I had a little bit of that Cajun in him because he's got that French, Canadian accent. Yes. Yeah, it's crazy.
He sounded like I can't. Anyway, so we were looking at basically NFL all breakout team, and this is the offensive side of the ball. So this is from NFL.com.
Bucky Brooks, I think, was the author.
So, and he's on this list.
Yeah. The number of people that jump off, and of course we'll kind of break through it, but obviously Bergeron's the one that Falcons fans are going to focus on, and I think it's logical to say that Bergeron has a kind of a breakout year. I think that's just the logical next step when you have a guy that started all 17 games as a rookie.
I agree, but Mike, do you believe in Pro Football Focus? Because I don't. I don't necessarily read what they say and say that they know what the blocking assignments are, what even the schemes. So unless I'm a guy, and they even had Chris Lindstrom as the highest rated guard, which I think he's a top 10 player guard wise. I don't know if he's top three.
You and I had that conversation a lot last year.
Yeah. What I would ask you is, how is the average fan going to watch games other than saying, I don't see Bergeron being exposed on replays for missing blocks pointed out by the play by play guys? How are you going to know? How are we going to sit here and know?
Yeah, I don't think this is something where you can I can sit here and quantify it to a fan that's watching on a Sunday of like, hey, this is what you need to look for if you're going to look for Bergeron. I will tell you what I think leads to a breakout star or a breakout candidate. I think it's comfortability. When you're a rookie, I mean, I cannot say this enough, how impressive he was last year. Your head is absolutely spinning. Not only is he making the transition to the NFL, but he's moving from left tackle to guard. Right, and he's doing all of this at a very, very high level. Now, was he an All-Pro last year? No. There were times when he looked a little bit out of spots, and swim moves would get him, and he'd bury his head a little bit. But comfortability is what leads to that. And I think that when I look at this list, and I look at the fact that they've changed offensive coordinators, I think they're you could always look at that and wonder if there's going to be some fallback. But I think the fact that Zach Robinson runs a wide zone style of offense leads to a level of comfortability with him.
I'm glad you mentioned Zach Robinson and that offense, because here's a little bit of what Bucky Brooks had to say about Matthew Bergeron and why he's on this list. He said, the athletic interior blocker is poised to shine in a revamped offense under new coordinator Zach Robinson that makes the most of his talents as a people mover at the point of attack. So Bergeron's movement skills should lead to more space for, this should be music to your ears, for running back Bijan Robinson on runs while providing sufficient protection for Kirk Cousins to attack from the pocket. And then it goes on to say, as Robinson builds a game plan that enables the Falcons to showcase their skill players on the perimeter, the football world would come to better appreciate the work Bergeron does between the tackles in 2024.
And I do think... That sounded really legendary. No, I do think that... And look, I'll go out and say this. I think Bergeron is better suited for what he will be asked to do this year than possibly Chris Lindstrom is. Chris Lindstrom fit like a puzzle piece into what Arthur Smith needed at right guard. I mean, it was the most beautiful marriage you can think of. He was the right guard version of Jason Kelce in a lot of ways, where he was an absolute spider monkey that was going to climb to the next level. After a rough first couple of weeks, I really thought that he settled back in his pass protection, kind of getting a jump on guys, not allowing them to bull rush because he gets up and in their chest really, really early. Kind of jump sets him. Bergeron is a bigger body. I mean, I don't remember what he weighed at the combine or coming in last year. It was north of 320, I want to say. He's a big, big dude compared to a Chris Lindstrom. I think when you look at Zach Robinson's offense and you kind of start to look at they are both wide zone style of offenses, but what Zach Robinson asks is a lot different than what Arthur Smith was asking. You are going to see every now and then, which we saw very rarely last year, as asking these guards to pull. Kick out blocks, maybe some A-gap powers. There is also a lot of what you would call a duo run play, which means that there are straight double teams up front and the running back's just going downhill and he's picking a gap. It's not even a zone. It's just like, hey, if there's a guy in the gap in between us, we're both going to double team him and try to push him all the way into the linebacker's lap. Duo is a staple of what they were trying to do in L.A. last year. You did not see A-gap run plays from the Atlanta Falcons last year. You didn't. Now, sometimes they would end up in the A-gap due to cutback lanes and a running back kind of pushing the envelope, cutting back, finding the A-gap. But very, very rarely in this offense, and this is why you had the legendary Jonnu Smith speed sweep on the two-yard line, very, very rarely in this offense last year did you see guys being moved north and south. And so when I look at Bergeron in the bigger body, which I'm going to go out on a limb and say he probably weighs at least 30 pounds more than Chris Lindstrom right now after seeing them in person, I think he fits very, very well. I think he fits very, very, very well into what Zach Robinson is going to try to do up front with this group.
So we're going to talk about Bergeron. I can't help but bring up Jake. And I think that Jake has been a guy that for as much, you know, look, he's had his moments where he's not played well at times during seasons. And I don't think he had a particularly good season a couple of years ago. But how does it change his game, A, knowing who the guy who's he's supposed to play next to and start with this year, because he has not really had a consistent guy next to him in quite a few years.
It's been a while.
And B, if Bergeron takes that next step, how much better is Jake due to that? Because I think we forget way too many times how guard and tackle are connected.
Oh, so it's massive.
Yeah.
What's funny is, and you and I saw Jake a couple of Mondays ago, and I walk up to him and I go, dude, I don't know how you're doing it. I mean, it seems like it's been three decades since I suited up. And he looked dead in the face, didn't he, and said, I feel good. I was like, good for you, dude. He said he feels really, really good at this point, and he's moving well. But I think more so than Bergeron being lined up next to Jake, and I go back to Zach Robinson and everything they were able to do offensively, very rarely did you see the offensive tackles in L.A. absolutely left to be exposed on important downs. And I think that's a huge thing to take into effect. You saw chip blocks. You saw a lot of screens, running back screens, speed screens, things of that nature. And when you had that implemented, which the Falcons had but weren't very efficient with last year, when you see things like that, it makes Jake Matthews feel more at home. Hey, I don't have to block Julius Peppers, for lack of a better name right now, on third down. I just don't, right? I'm going to be able to have a Puka Nacua, Charlie Warner, style of body chip on the way out and not leave me exposed all the time. And then you add play action on the top of that, which Matthew Stafford was very good at a year ago. So it's very intriguing.
You know who else is on this list that might affect the Falcons this season? And it's a quarterback from the NFC South. And, Bucky Brooks has Bryce Young on this list of younger guys set to possibly break out this year. And he said a disappointing rookie season spurred a mass exodus from Young's bandwagon, all the change that they have. That's what he's talking about in Carolina. And he said, but I believe last year's number one overall pick can bounce back under new head coach Dave Canales. And he cited Canales' experience with Baker Mayfield down in Tampa. I know that Baker Mayfield sung his praises when I had their game, just about the connection that they had down there and being able to kind of, put Baker's career kind of back together.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see if he has a Trevor Lawrence type season two, as in, I'm not saying that Frank Wright was Urban Meyer, but that offense was a mess. It was a debacle. Bryce Young was set up to fail last year to me from the get-go. So I wonder if he can kind of get it together and start to slowly come, put his career back together, kind of like Trevor Lawrence did after that rookie year debacle with Urban Meyer.
When we come back, let's stick with the NFL. We are going in the huddle. It doesn't matter what happened last year. Which coach had that to say? Was it a playoff team? Perhaps. We'll discuss next on the other side on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We are going in the huddle, but before we completely get there, let's go back to this list that we were talking about. Bucky Brooks for NFL.com put out an NFL all-breakout team on offense, and we're talking about Bryce Young, and so he does have him as quarterback on this list. And again, he said, a disappointing rookie season spurred by a mass exodus from Young's bandwagon. Again, citing all the changes in turnover in Carolina. But he said, I believe last year's number one overall pick can bounce back under new head coach Dave Canales and the quarterback guru who just helped Baker Mayfield.
I hope he does. I was obviously a huge fan of Bryce Young when he was in college and watching him. And I immediately, when, you know, the marriage between him and Frank Reich, watching that kind of unfold and be a part of, oh, you know, this guy's dealt with these Watching what Frank Reich did with Matt Ryan in Indianapolis, I was like, dude, he fed this guy to the wolves, and Matt Ryan didn't stand a chance. And for that reason, leading into last year, I'm looking at kind of the marriage with him and Bryce Young, and I'm going, this ain't going to be good. And obviously, you get a peek at them week one last year, and it was very clear what the game plan was in Bryce Young's ear, was don't go lose the game. It was unbelievable how many throws throughout the second half of week one last year, watching that in person, where Bryce Young's like, well, it's not there. I'm just going to airmail it out of bounds. And I can't tell you how deflating that can be for a young quarterback. And I'm not saying that's a bad – you don't want to force it. But if you're just telling the guy, hey, if it's not there, throw it out of bounds, then we're really not letting the guy play. And that's not what Bryce Young was good at. I am very, very curious to see what Dave Canales can do with him and kind of unleashing the gunslinger mentality that led to Bryce Young's Heisman Trophy at a certain point in college. So – I don't know what the end goal is over there in Carolina, but I think it's going to be a fun marriage. Look, he's not the only one on this list either. I'm looking at Peter Skoronski. Peter Skoronski, the first-round pick at guard, the top 10 pick at guard up in Nashville last year. Loved the marriage with him and Vrabel, but you're going to get Brian Callahan, and along with that, you get Bill Callahan, the legendary father of his that will be as part of that building as yeah. well, and then will coach offensive line. So there's a number of players really up and down this list that I think you can be excited about if they're on your team. And, you know, for that reason, obviously I'll have my eyes on Bergeron and hoping he succeeds in Zach Robinson's offense.
Yeah, and, you know, the whole Bryce – one quick note on the Bryce. I think Frank Wright is going to get most of the blame, because at the end of the day, you're only going to remember Frank Wright was the coach. But let's not forget the debacle of the ownership group that they is up there right now with Tepper. Up there, and how he had spies on the coaching staff, and remember he made Frank Wright give up play calling at one point, and then Wright takes it back. I mean, it was just it's just a mess up there. Hopefully, Dave Canales is part of his agreement to coach that team for Bryce Young's sake.
Yeah,
was hey,
keep your hand out the cookie jar.
You run the ownership thing and you get us a new stadium, I'll run the football part, all right? Stay out of it because, you know, but I mean, for as a Falcon fan, I don't really care either way. But
let it dig, David Tepper.
But as a guy that liked Bryce Young in college and I heard a lot of good things about him, for his sake,
well,
that
I just
nice.
Pulled back up my notes from our conversation with Baker when I had the Panthers-Bucks last season, and Baker said this about Dave Canales. He said, he's given me the freedom, trusting our guys to be able to handle that as well. So I think that's a huge word there. Basically handed him the keys to the car. And I know Baker obviously had more experience than Bryce did at the NFL level coming into this, but still he had built that trust with Canales fairly quickly. And so the word freedom is huge, especially when you're talking about a quarterback.
Yeah, and it's exactly what I'm kind of alluding to. You go and give them a less than stellar wide receiver core and basically say, if it's not there, we're going to throw it away. And it's like, well, what did you think it was going to look like last year with that being the message throughout the first 15 weeks of the season?
Let's go in the huddle.
It's time to huddle up.
Bring it in close. Bring it in close.
The latest NFL news, rumors, reports, and happenings.
With In the Huddle, brought to you by the Good Feet Store Premium Art Supports. Learn more at goodfeet.com on the morning shift.
Well, the Houston Texans, they surprised a lot of people last year. They had the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year in, or not Bryce Young, wow, C.J. Stroud, who I got to see at a game last year during the season. And Coach D'Amico Ryans basically was saying it doesn't matter what happened last year. And if you remember, because everyone likes to talk about it because it surprised so many people, they did make it into the playoffs. And but he doesn't care about that, right? It's all about going forward now. But that certainly is something that they can build off of. But again, it doesn't matter.
I think all three of us sitting around this table can understand the fact that this is a what have you done for me lately leak, is it not? I mean, this is one of those things where D'Amico better understand that it's all about what you do now. Ask guys like Doug Peterson. Ask guys like Nick Sirianni, who was the belle of the ball middle of the season last year, and at the end of the year, you wondered if he was getting fired. And I'm talking about half a season that thing flipped on its head. So I think D'Amico Ryan understands that. He's the consummate professional. Everybody in the world, it seems like, is rooting for him. And so I think it's nice that he understands that.
Yeah, he did talk with NFL Network's Rhett Lewis at the Senior Bowl Hall of Fame ceremony that happened over the weekend. And so he said the most exciting thing, what I love about the NFL, is it doesn't matter what happened last year. And he said, you got to hit that reset button. You start back from ground zero. And I love that. Going back to our day one fundamentals installs and seeing guys truly grow and seeing how far we can get, in this game. So,
yeah, and it is hard to have stay hungry. And it's not just about, people can say, well, you've won a playoff game.
And I'm sorry, especially when you get it in the first year.
Yeah. And people say, well, you've only won a playoff game, so how are you not hungry? But it's more about continuing to elevate your game. You know, he was so good last year, and now he's got a veteran receiver too, who, let's be fair, doesn't want the ball, but demands the ball. And when he doesn't get it, he lets you know in the middle of games. And I'm not saying that Stephon Diggs isn't a team player, but what I'm saying is he's got a reputation. He did it in Minnesota. He did it in Buffalo. Now, that said, it might even make things easier to a certain extent for C.J. Stroud if Stephon Diggs is getting attention from defenders and he's able to, basically open things up for other guys like, you know, Nico and stuff. So that's the hard part for me, is the staying hungry on a personal level to continue to do all the things you did in year one and elevate that in year two.
And sorry, one quick thing. Just in getting to be around them at practice and having Coach Ryans come up to us and talk to us while practice is going on, you don't get that experience too much when you're going around doing games every weekend where the coach is just like, whatever, I'm going to talk to you about your family life and all this kind of stuff. But it is kind of different down there. There's a real emphasis on family. Maybe this is the right spot. For Stephon Diggs. We'll see if he can thrive there.
Right coach for sure.
Yeah. The NFL's top 10 offenses in 2024. 49ers, Chiefs headline this prediction here in on NFL.com. So you want me to read the rest of the list? It has the 49ers at one, tied for second, the Ravens, the Dolphins at four, the Cowboys, five, the Lions, six, the Bills, seven, the Eagles, 8 the Rams, 9 the Saints, and 10 the Cleveland Browns.
Nine and ten.
What did I miss?
Well, 9 and 10.
I'm fine with ten.
Well, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Where did nine come from?
You know what I'm not doing? First off, I'm not fine with 10 because did they have a top 10 offense when Deshaun Watson went down? Because I don't necessarily think they did.
They finished the year on a strong note for a team that was using a four-string quarterback. Yes, that's what I would say.
I agree, but Deshaun Watson in particular has shown me nothing.
That's fair.
Nothing.
That's fair.
Since he's came back. Now, 9, I mean, what the hell is that?
What world are the Saints at 9 right now as far as looking towards?
Did Sean Payton and Drew Brees come back?
Yeah, what are we talking about?
Is this rookie or second year Alvin Kamara? No, I don't know what that is. Most everybody else I really don't have a problem with. The Ravens, no problem. The Cowboys are at 4. I hope CeeDee Lamb shows up for training camp.
By the way, this is Gennaro Felici's list that he accumulated on NFL.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dude, I got questions.
That he put together.
For him.
So you have questions for
him. Well, did he throw a couple of teams on the wall and they just stuck? They didn't just slide down it? Because your questions are 9 and 10.
9 and 10.
Yeah.
I'm good with 10. 9 to me is just like that's completely random for the Saints to be there at 9.
I'm not necessarily going to say I totally agree with that. Just from the standpoint of you had Joe Flacco come in last year, and now you're inserting yes, Deshaun Watson has had experience with some of the guys on that roster before, but you're now inserting a totally different quarterback in from Flacco.
And you had a top 3 defense in the league that helped elevate that offense, and we have seen defenses elevate offenses before.
So, interesting. Well, you guys can send your requests, or you can tweet at him, Bo. You can angry tweet if you feel inclined.
No.
I'm not to be angry.
I mean, I'm not angry. I just got a lot to say.
You just got a lot to say. Okay.
Well, and a short week to do it.
When we come back, we will get to that U.S. Men's National Team game last night. It was not pretty, and we've also got a mic'd up.
It's Top 5 Tuesday, and I'm just telling y'all. Bo's top 5 songs he was singing in his car when he turned 16 in honor of his birthday last week. And I got to tell you, I was laughing out loud putting this list together this morning. We'll hit that on the other side. It's coming up on Top 5 Tuesday on Mic'd Up. It's the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When was this day? When was this song? When did it come out?
Ooh, I got to double check the year, but it was in the 2000s.
Yeah, this is probably 2002 or 3. Petey Pablo?
Yeah.
So, this has got to be that time frame.
That was probably still after I got my license then. I'm just thinking about what could have been on that list that you had.
I would have got my license in 03. Maybe I'll do my own list next.
Forgot about Drake.
I was bumping too.
Forgot about Dre was 2000.
Yeah, it was on the list last week. Or it was an honorable mention, I think.
That was definitely a song. Me and we had a Finnish goalkeeper in soccer.
Goodness.
We had roll up to this song at practice.
Oh, before we get to mic'd up, USA soccer, the United States men's national team, is now eliminated from Copa America after a 1-0 defeat at the hands of, don't you guys come, this is how they say it, Uruguay. So
that's not what you said a minute ago.
Yeah.
You said Uruguay. What did I say before?
And I was like,
I got to get this down before the Olympics.
You just Uruguay. Oh, this is how they say it. Uruguay.
Did I not say it? Did I say it? What did I say? Uruguay.
A minute ago, you said it's pronounced Uruguay. And I was like, no, that's going
to
be tough.
Well, you want to say Uruguay, but that's not what you're supposed to say. That's not a real country when I did it like that.
Yeah. So, remember that when you're making fun of me in Paulding County. You know what?
It's because you tripped me up. Looking at you made me want to go into a country sort of dialect. Just your presence.
Look, I know that you're gonna you might cringe when I say this, but I'm not sure how much longer the U.S. men's soccer team can continue down the path with the leadership in place. And that's talking about Berhalter, the coach.
Yeah, it's every main website, sports website that you can find this morning, and I'm talking about The Athletic, ESPN, CBS Sports, whatever you want to call it, every single one, the headline read, it's time for the United States men's national team to move on from Greg Berhalter. And it is. This is as ugly as it gets when you look at the opportunity they had in front of them hosting a tournament where they were favored in what should have been a shoe-in group to make it to the quarterfinals, at least. And yet there were so many missteps and everything that happened for the last couple of matches for them that I don't know how you kind of stick with that, man.
Yeah,
it's just ugly.
And I think there's a lot of, there's talent, and there's talent that's young talent, and to not sustain the energy.
Dude, I was told this is the most talented roster in men's national team history.
Well,
that's what
it probably is.
I mean, maybe, you know, not all is lost for this team, right? I mean, you said the talent's there. It just hasn't really panned out. Day-Day, are you good for me?
Well, if it hasn't panned out, yeah. When you have talented rosters and they underachieve, the first question always goes towards leadership. And Berhalter's been there 5 or 6 years now, and nothing has been accomplished, essentially.
And looks like we're ready for that sound now. So let's listen to Berhalter. Whether or not, is the team doomed?
In my opinion, it's not something you say, okay, you know, this program's doomed. It's not that. It's not the case at all. It was a poor performance. We didn't get the results that we expected, and we need to get better.
Let me ask you all this, too. Anybody that was watching really closely last night, it was kind of all over the socials. You needed the result, Panama against Bolivia, to stay a lot tighter than it ended up being.
Yeah.
Right? Did you guys see the video right before Uruguay scores on the set piece where Berhalter's looking out and he's saying it's 1-1? Basically, the game has been tied. The other game that we're paying attention to has been tied. In that moment, you guys tell me, do you want to know anything about the other game that's going on? Because I do not. I personally am like, dude, let's control what we control. I don't want to know anything about what's going on between Panama and Bolivia at this point. Let me worry about Uruguay right here in front of me and see if we can beat this team first.
I think, to me, you have to know the makeup of the entirety and the most important players on your roster when you do something like that.
Right.
Because I'm different. I want to know. So I, you know, it affects. I like having that feeling that my back is against the wall kind of thing. I don't know why. It's always been something I feel like I've done better at. But, you know, you have to be very careful when you do those things, and you have to know the makeup of the team. I'm not sure if that is something that he did there or if that's just who he is. So it's hard for me to answer that.
Yeah.
Like, but this team clearly didn't respond, so maybe that wasn't.
If the game is over, okay, tell me the result. But in the middle of the game, who cares? Who cares what the current score is in the 60th minute or whatever it is?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? That's
well,
kind of where I
think it maybe pushes urgency, but if you don't have urgency in that game already, knowing what you had to do coming in there and essentially get a win to move, then there's a lot more issues with this team than just Berhalter.
Yeah. All right, well, speaking of having issues, let's go ahead and hit this mic, though.
It's time to rant.
Excuse me?
It's time to rage.
It's time for Mic'd Up
on the Morning Shift.
Top 5 Tuesday, top 5 songs that Squid Billy was probably singing at the top of his lungs as he got his driver's license and drove that first car around town. What were you driving up there in Dallas, Georgia?
First car.
Well, my first car that was actually mine was a 91 5.0 Mustang.
Okay.
What color?
It was black.
The boxy one?
Yeah, Fox Body.
Yeah, there you go.
Fox Body. When I first got my license, I was driving a combination between a 93 GT5, which was my mom's, and then a 66 Mustang, which was supposed to have been my sister's, but she never really drove it. So I drove it. But I got the 91 later on in the year after I got my driver's license. So, yeah, I drove Mustangs around then.
All right, well, look, we're going to have to start this list and get through it quick. And here's what I'll say about this first one before Day-Day gets to it. I don't know if he was singing at the top of his lungs, but I guarantee you he had a crush on this one.
Number 5.
Bet you know it all. Oh, oh, you think you're special. Oh, oh, you think you're something else.
Okay, so you're a rocket scientist.
That don't impress me much.
There's Squid Billy and his boxy Mustang with his elbow.
Now, were you playing this for the ladies?
With his elbow hanging out.
Would you pull up with your arm hanging out the window?
No, but I would watch this video with my mouth open.
I'm just telling you. All right, we got to go kind of quick here, running behind on time. This one right here, I know that you're gonna absolutely deny this next song, all right? And that's fine. But I think the people that know you and the people that know you well and at least know your music taste are going to lean into the fact that you were definitely probably singing number four.
Number four.
You've missed on both of our.
No, lives. I did. I think this is like a parody of what I was listening to.
Oh, dude.
No way.
But this video came on TRL like constantly.
It did.
So
it did.
I knew the words. I was like, I can this song stop playing.
All right, and then listen.
When do you get serious with the list?
Right here. All right, so you're driving that boxy Mustang up around in Dallas, Georgia. But when you had to head into town. And you wanted the people to know what you were listening to and what you were feeling?
When I was going down Business 6?
Number 3 was probably
number 3. What I bought you. If you couldn't see yourself with a new when this dough is low, baby girl, if this is so. Yo, can I get a what?
Yeah, like we did. This definitely came on.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, we definitely had that playing at some point.
Oh, my God, so good. So good right now. I'm just picturing Bo.
Well, the,
I had to come
with the spiky hair gel,
my buddy,
you had your hair spiked.
Well, me and my best friend Evan would drive around all the time, and we both would switch. And he had that single cab 1500 white Chevrolet. We had the windows down. That's normally when we'd get a what.
Well, Tiff, I'm glad you brought up the spiky hair with maybe the blonde tips, because that has a lot to do with number two.
Number two. On it that way.
Tell me why. Did you even try?
Now, why did you have this on my? Like, I asked you why.
Because
you
it's two different years. This is a 1999 song.
He was not
song.
Bumping Backstreet.
No, the only
he
song.
The only
Backstreet's voice song I ever bumped was Backstreet's Back.
Yeah.
All right. Bump, 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 bump.
All right. Well, also speaking of frosted tips and a little bit of spiky hair, you might deny this one as well, but this one is sitting at number one on my list for sure.
Number one.
I hated this song. I despise it. I don't believe him. Had you had...
You're trying to hold an image up right now.
No,
I don't believe him.
You missed, not horribly on my list, but you did miss.
I can't believe you're buying this. This man was singing Backstreet Boys in his boxy Mustang.
Nah,
I don't know why. What, you think his bravado would not allow for it? What are we talking about
right
now?
No, bravado and Bo, I don't know if belong in the
That's
same
set. That's my point. That's
but
my
I'm
point.
Saying, this man was not singing Backstreet Boys.
No, he was singing at the top of his lungs. What do you think, Bo? You trying to get him to pull up something
Most
else?
The
well,
guys
we
were.
Had some
Most
songs I told
were.
Him that told him that that I would think, but hey,
an older sister. I mean, come on. Like, it's this
no,
was happening.
Had you had this song as one of yours? Now we're talking.
Is that in 1999?
Back that thing up, or also back that. You
He's
know.
Going on a tour.
Juvie?
I thought I saw. I let me go. Hold on. Let me pull this up.
This man said Juvie?
No. Wait. Am I. I missed that.
This man. He's
now that. This
people.
Song.
He's trying to uphold an image.
This song was definitely
there
on there.
Top five songs that Squid Billy was bumping to in 1999 when he got that driver's
license. Yeah. Juvenile announced a, is this, are these credible sources? Let's see. Yeah, announces a back that, you know what, up 25th anniversary.
Oh, I love it. See?
So,
also, you know, you could have had, like, I'm just confused on how you don't, looking at me, Paulding County, you don't have.
I see through you.
Look.
You don't have this song on there.
You actually are.
Maybe.
I did it for the Nookie, man.
All right. We're going to break.
How did you not have Nookie on there?
Now, this is talking about a group
We'll be right
tour.
Back with a wake-up call. Maybe
I'd
you want to call
them.
Out Mike for Bo's list. 404-726-0929. Stay with us here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. When was this day? Why can't I? This was. When was this song? When did it come out?
Ooh, I got to double check the year, it's but it was the in the 2000s.
Yeah, this is probably 2002 or 3. Petey Pablo?
Yeah.
So, this has got to be that time frame.
That was probably still after I got my license then. I'm just thinking about what could have been on that list that you had.
I would have got my license in 03. Maybe I'll do my own list next.
Forgot about Drake.
I was bumping too.
Forgot about Dre was 2000.
Yeah, it was on the list last week. Or it was an honorable mention, I think.
That was definitely a song. Me and we had a Finnish goalkeeper in soccer.
Goodness.
We would roll up to this song at practice.
Oh, before we get to mic'd up, that USA song, soccer, the United States men's national team, is now eliminated from Copa America after a 1-0 defeat at the hands of, don't you guys come, this is how they say it, Uruguay. So.
That's not what you said a minute ago.
Yeah.
You said Uruguay.
Uruguay. What did I say before?
And I was like,
I got to get this down before the Olympics.
You just Uruguay. Oh, this is how they say it. Uruguay.
Did I not say it? Did I say it? What did I say? Uruguay.
A minute ago, you said it's pronounced Uruguay. And I was like, no, that's going to be tough.
Well, you want to say Uruguay, but that's not what you're supposed to say. That's going to be tough. That's not a real country when I did it like that.
Yeah. So, remember that when you're making fun of me in Paulding County. You know what?
Because you tripped me up. Looking at you made me want to go into a country sort of dialect. Just your presence.
Look, I know that you're gonna you might cringe when I say this, but I'm not sure how much longer the U.S. men's soccer team can continue down the path with the leadership in place. And that's talking about Berhalter, the coach.
Yeah, it's every main website, sports website that you can find this morning, and I'm talking about The Athletic, ESPN, CBS Sports, whatever you want to call it, every single one, the headline read, it's time for the United States men's national team to move on from Greg Berhalter. And it is. This is as ugly as it gets when you look at the opportunity they had in front of them hosting a tournament where they were favored in what should have been a shoe-in group to make it to the quarterfinals, at least. There were so many missteps and everything that happened for the last couple of matches for them that I don't know how you kind of stick with that, man.
Yeah,
it's just ugly.
And I think there's a lot of, there's talent, and there's talent that's young talent, and to not sustain the energy.
Yeah, I was told this is the most talented roster in men's national team history.
Well,
that's what
it probably is.
I mean, maybe, you know, not all is lost for this team, right? I mean, you said the talent's there. It just hasn't really panned out. Day-Day, are you good for me?
Well, if it hasn't panned out, you look when you have talented rosters and they underachieve, the first question always goes towards leadership. And Berhalter's been there 5 or 6 years now, and nothing has been accomplished, essentially.
And looks like we're ready for that sound now. So let's listen to Berhalter. Whether or not, is the team doomed?
In my opinion, it's not something you say, okay, you know, this program's doomed. It's not that, it's not the case at all. It was a poor performance. We didn't get the results that we expected, and we need to get better.
Let me ask y'all this too. Anybody that was watching really closely last night, it was kind of all over the socials. You needed the result, Panama against Bolivia, to stay a lot tighter than it ended up being.
Yeah.
Right? Did you guys see the video right before Uruguay scores on the set piece, where Berhalter's looking out and he's saying it's 1-1. Basically, the game has been tied. The other game that we're paying attention to has been tied. In that moment, you guys tell me, do you want to know anything about the other game that's going on? Because I do not. I personally am like, dude, let's control what we control. I don't want to know anything about what's going on between Panama and Bolivia at this point. Let me worry about Uruguay right here in front of me and see if we can beat this team first.
I think, to me, you have to know the makeup of the entirety and the most important players on your roster when you do something like that.
Right.
Because I'm different. I want to know. So it affects. I like having that feeling that my back is against the wall kind of thing. I don't know why. It's always been something I feel like I've done better at. But, you know, you have to be very careful when you do those things, and you have to know the makeup of the team. I'm not sure if that is something that he did there or if that's just who he is. So it's hard for me to answer that.
Yeah.
Like, but this team clearly didn't respond, so maybe that wasn't.
If the game is over, okay, tell me the result. But in the middle of the game, who cares? Who cares what the current score is in the 60th minute or whatever it is?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Pushes urgency, but if you don't have urgency in that game already, knowing what you had to do coming in there and essentially get a win to move, then there's a lot more issues with this team than just Berhalter.
Yeah. All right, well, speaking of having issues, let's go ahead and hit this mic, though.
It's time to rant.
Excuse me?
It's time to rage.
It's time for Mic'd Up
on the Morning Shift.
Top 5 Tuesday, top 5 songs that Squid Billy was probably singing at the top of his lungs as he got his driver's license and drove that first car around town. What were you driving up there in Dallas, Georgia?
First car.
Well, my first car that was actually mine was a 91 5.0 Mustang.
Okay.
What color?
It was black.
The boxy one? The...
Yeah, Fox Body.
Yeah, there you go.
But Fox Body. When I first got my license, I was driving a combination between a 93 GT5, which was my mom's, and then a 66 Mustang, which was supposed to have been my sister's, but she never really drove it. So I drove it. But I got the 91 later on in the year after I got my driver's license. So, yeah, I drove Mustangs around then.
All right, well, look, we're going to have to start this list and get through it quick. And here's what I'll say about this first one before Day-Day gets to it. I don't know if he was singing this top of his lungs, but I guarantee you he had a crush on this one.
Number 5.
Original, know it all. Oh, you think you're special. Okay, so you're a rocket scientist. That don't impress me much.
There's Squid Billy and his boxy Mustang with his elbow.
Now, were you playing this for the ladies?
With his elbow hanging out.
Would you pull up with your arm hanging out the window?
No, but I would watch this video with my mouth open.
I'm just telling you. All right, we got to go kind of quick here, running behind on time. This one right here, I know that you're gonna absolutely deny this next song. All right, and that's fine. But I think the people that know you, and the people that know you well and at least know your music taste are going to lean into the fact that you were definitely probably singing Number 4.
Number 4.
On both of our
no,
lives.
I did. I think this is like a parody of what I was listening to.
Oh, dude.
No way.
But this video came on TRL like constantly.
It did.
So
it
I
did.
Knew the words. I was like, can this song stop playing?
All right. And then, listen.
When do you get serious with the list?
Okay,
maybe right here. All right. So you're driving that boxy Mustang up around in Dallas, Georgia. But when you had to head into town, and you wanted the people to know what you were listening to and what you were feeling.
When I was going down Business 6.
Number 3 was probably.
Number 3.
It's what I bought you. If you couldn't see yourself fitting. When this dough is low, baby girl, if this is so. Yo, can I get a what? What?
Yeah, like we did. This definitely came on.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, we definitely had that playing at some point.
Oh, my God. So good. So good right now. I'm just picturing Bo.
Well, the.
Had to come.
With the spiky hair gel,
my buddy,
you had your hair spiked.
Well, me and my best friend Evan would drive around all the time, and we both would switch. And he had that single cab 1500 white Chevrolet. We had the windows down. That's normally when we'd get a what.
Well, Tiff, I'm glad you brought up the spiky hair with maybe the blonde tips, because that has a lot to do with number 2.
Number 2.
On it that way, tell me why.
Did you even try?
Now, why did you have this on my? Like, I asked you, why did you give me Backstreet Boys?
Because it's 2 different years. 2 different years. This is a 1999 song.
He was not
song.
Bumping Backstreet.
No, the only
he
song.
He definitely.
No, the no. only Backstreet Boys song no I ever bumped was Backstreet's Back.
Yeah.
All right. Bump, 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 bump.
All right, well, also speaking of frosted tips and a little bit of spiky hair, you might deny this one as well, but this one is sitting at number 1 on my list for sure.
Number 1.
I hated this song. I absolutely hated this song. I despise this song.
I don't think I believe him.
Lying to the people.
Had you had...
You're trying to hold an image up right now.
No,
I don't
believe him. You missed...
You.
on my, no. You missed, not horribly on my list, but you did
Tiff,
miss.
I can't believe you're buying this. This man was singing Backstreet Boys in his boxy Mustang. Yeah, I don't know why. What, you think his bravado would not allow for it? What are we talking about right now?
No. Bravado and Bell, I don't know if belong in the
That's
same
set. That's my point. That's my point.
This man was not singing Backstreet Boys. No,
he was singing at the top of his lungs. What do you think, Bo? You trying to get him to pull up something
Most
else?
The guys
well, we
were.
Had some
Most
songs I told
weren't.
Him, I told him that, that I would think, but.
Had an older sister. I mean, come on. Like, it's this
no,
was happening.
Had you had this song as one of yours? Now we're talking.
Is that in 1999?
1999. Let's back that thing up. Or also back that, you know.
He's going on a tour. Juvie? I thought I saw. I let me go. Hold on. Let me pull this up.
This man said, Juvie?
No. Wait. Am I I missed that. I missed that.
This man.
He's now that, this people. Song.
He's trying to uphold an image.
This song was
it.
Definitely on there.
Top five songs that Squid Billy was bumping to in 1999 when he got that driver's license.
Yeah. Juvenile announced a, is this, are these credible sources? Let's see. Yeah, announces a back that, you know what, up 25th anniversary.
Oh, I love it. See? So, also, you know, you could have had, like, I'm just confused on how you don't, looking at me, Haldane County,
go,
you don't have.
I see through you.
Look,
you don't have this song on there.
You actually are.
Maybe.
I did it for the Nookie, man.
All right. We're going to break.
How did you not have Nookie on there?
Now, this is about a group
we'll be right
tour.
Back with a wake-up call. Maybe
I'd
you want to call
them.
Out Mike for Bo's list. 404-726-0929. Stay with us here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.